in her purse, and a guy came from behind her to grab her purse, and she turned around and pow.
Okay, folks, I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Would everyone rise for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the November 4th, 2019, regular council meeting of Chester Heights Borough. On the agenda first is roll call. Tonight, we have President Mayor Stacy Smith, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilpersons Philip Locke, Dean Morales, Teresa Gustinelli, myself, Steve Picoza, Jordan Goldberg, and Susan Clark. Not present tonight is Borough Solicitor Jerry Monteller. Next up on the agenda is the opportunity for the public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record. Anyone in the first row? Second row? Third? Yes.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly, Glen Mills. Question, I'm here for John Keeley, principal up at St. Thomas School. Last Wednesday morning, there was a fairly serious accident at the entrance to the school just before the speed zone starts flashing, and we're exploring traffic guard options. What role, if any, does the borough or do people in the borough need to have to be kept in the loop with that or to grant various authorities that may be required, if any?
If I could ask you a question first, what time does that light start to blink?
I think 7:50, but I'm not certain. It might be 8 o'clock. It might be 7:45. I don't have that information.
It's that late?
I think 7:50, 7:45, okay. Yeah.
I think it's 7:30 to 8:30. At least it was when my kids went there. What time was the, I mean, not that it matters.
About 7:45.
Yeah.
Okay. So your question one more time, if you don't mind, just the end part.
What role, if any, does the borough or officers within the borough have or need to have as we look into traffic guard installation at that spot during those entry and exit times?
Sure, I can answer part of that and I'll pass it off to Gina. In the past, when we've had complaints about cars going too high of the speed limit past that, we've called the state police and they responded by having a car on site, you know, for several mornings. Obviously, they can't have one there every morning. Gina, have you had more contact?
So we met with Mr. Stacy and I met with Mr. Keeley last year, and we talked about the possibility of getting fire police to help you and to get there. And unfortunately, the fire police, there just aren't a whole lot of them in Delaware County that are available in that regard. So Larry, I think you had suggested that maybe St. Thomas get some volunteers together and actually go to fire police training and actually have volunteers who are trained by the fire police to direct traffic. It is a state road. I mean, if you told us, that would be great. We'd love to be kept in the loop, but at the end of the day, it's your entrance, it's your people, and it's a state road. And as long as the fire police train you all, and Larry, please correct me if I'm wrong in any of this.
The borough would deputize them.
The borough, okay. Then Larry will take over from here.
No, I mean, basically the borough would deputize them, okay. And you know, and they would be governed under the borough then, though.
Okay.
But they would, you know, be you know, paid by the school then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be a mutual agreement hammered out between the borough and the school at that time.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
They make a suggestion, too. Obviously, Garnet Valley School District does this on a state road. I don't know if you've talked to them and
we how they... their security. They contract it.
And they probably... I don't know how they deal with Concord Township on that. They probably don't.
And Bethel.
I would imagine it would be the same kind of similar process there.
Slightly similar, although we're talking about fire police being deputized, and I actually called Garnet Valley on St. Thomas's behalf when we were preparing for our meeting with Mr. Keeley last year, and their people who do the flagging on the road are also their security guards inside the building, so it's not they don't just do one thing, they use them for a number of responsibilities throughout the day. Because we asked if they could hire extra and we could use them at St. Thomas, like how would that work? And that was a non-starter for that reason. So at this point, we really tried to find fire police for state police. They're just, first of all, no one was calling me back. And then when I finally did get a hold of someone, they just said, we don't have the manpower. But if St. Thomas would provide the manpower to go ahead and get trained, and then St. Thomas could pay their parishioners or parents or whoever for that, and then go through Larry and the fire company to be deputized. And anything to increase the safety, I think we support.
We do, and this has been an ongoing problem, as you probably know, for years now.
Yep. It's actually a little worse on Sundays after Mass because there's no 15-mile limit then.
Oh, okay.
It's 40.
Right. Yes, it is.
And yeah. It's tough getting out of the parking lot.
Two cars hitting at 40 instead of 15 is a whole lot different. Right. Animal.
And quite frankly, cars aren't going 15 when the light's blinking most of the time. So. Yeah.
Is there any way you can get those lights to blink on Sundays?
That's not a school zone. We have a hard enough time getting people to slow down from 7 to 9 p.m. on prep nights.
Not school hours.
No.
So, I mean, it'd be hard to get the state to approve it, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
But if they had their own parishioners trained, you guys could pretty much do that the way they do in Aston.
So other than approval of the local fire officials, there's nothing other than getting this, I'll call it certification or training, mm-hmm. that would prevent us from staffing it ourselves.
Larry, is that true?
It's more, once you become fire police, it's more of a borough function.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's more of the borough getting that, and then they become an entity of the borough, not the fire company.
So okay. I mean, all right.
Well, then they go to fire school training or fire police training for the borough, and then become deputized during that part, you know, and it goes that route of it. So, you know, it may end up, you know, that's why I say an agreement needs to be hammered out, because then it impacts maybe workman's comp.
Sure.
It impacts, you know, some liability, you know, on both parties of the, you know, the church, the school, and the borough.
Understood. Okay.
So it's not just a, you know, go to school, get deputized, and we're done.
Okay.
Type thing. It's a little bit more involved. I mean, you know, a fire police that's already active somewhere else,
right.
it wouldn't have been that difficult, but if you're starting from scratch, it's a little bit more involved.
In addition to workman's comp, we need other insurance.
Correct.
So we can keep you or abreast of this. I mean, Gina has a very good open line of communication with the school, so I think between the two of us, we can maybe pass information back and forth, see what's feasible for both parties. Thank you. Okay, anyone else in the second row? Third row? Okay, moving forward, up next on the agenda is the approval of the October 7th meeting minutes, the regular council meeting minutes on October 28th, and also the work session meeting minutes from August 5th. Let's start off with the October 28th minutes, if we could. Do I have any comments or concerns?
I just had a comment. On the Burrell property park open space, the last sentence that said that we agreed that once the threshold is passed, that three telephonic bids, I don't agree that it can lower costs, but should be made and documented, I think is the point there.
Okay, so
I'm only covering the substantive changes. I gave to Drew some other changes that need to be made that are.
So if you mark it up for me, Susan, I'll talk to you if you need one mark it up on the copy.
I circled that, but I think that's, I don't know how we came to that conclusion. So.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for the October 28th work session meeting minutes? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the work session on October 28th?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, moving forward, up next we have the October 7th regular council meeting minutes.
I had two minor edits that I had sent in earlier, which are now in the corrected version. I don't know if it's worth.
Okay, so you're good.
At bringing out, unless anybody wants me to tell them
what
they're. I just asked on under the hold on a second, if I can find it. On the wrong one. Hold on.
And Brookfield to the solicitor report.
Yeah, because it didn't. It didn't identify which one. And then there was just a minor typo under one of the comments about the fire department finance meeting, which again was just a grammatical thing. So.
Okay. So after the meeting, I can get with you and we'll.
She changed. Changed it in here already.
Okay. Any further comments or questions on the October 7th meeting minutes?
I gave through a number of changes to both meeting minutes,
so
he said they don't change the meaning of the minutes,
just
some corrections.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes of October 7th?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is approved. Okay, lastly. We have the meeting minutes from October 5th, regular council. I'm sorry, August 5th, regular council meeting. Do I have any comments or concerns?
On August 5th?
Yes.
I'm not prepared to discuss that because it was not on the agenda at noon today when I printed it.
Okay.
So I do not have time to
we will have that on the agenda for work session. All right, very good. Moving forward, up next on the agenda. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Sue, can we approve those? Based on any revisions that would be made in the future?
The August 5th?
Yes.
It says to approve them, and then if everybody agrees, you can change them.
Okay. Susan, do you understand that?
I just haven't had a chance to read them, and it's been how many months since we had the meeting, so I just wanted to check them over. I didn't have time.
Have you checked them over before? Excuse me? Have you checked them over in the past?
Yeah, I don't know if they're different. I don't know what's changed.
Question, Mr. President. She needs time to read them during the course of the meeting. Could we just move this, approval of this to a later point in the meeting?
We could,
so you give her the opportunity to review them.
I'd like to pay attention to the meeting, not have to read them because it got added to the agenda at the last minute if you don't want.
Well, but it does say in the October 7th meeting minutes that we all read that upon discussion, motion to approve August 5th regular council meeting minutes will move to the next work session on October 28th, which we didn't do in October. I mean, we're talking about August 5th, and we're now in November 4th.
Right. They've been unapproved for quite a long time at this stage already, and seeing them, the can kick down the road again, if it's something we can approve tonight, we should.
You can put it up for a vote.
Okay. They're able to be approved, and any revisions that need to be made can be made at a later date. So, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the August 5th meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Let the record show there was one nay vote. Councilperson Clark. Okay, moving forward, up on the agenda next is the Secretary's report.
Nina? Oh, I'm sorry. Consideration of Council to approve the 2020 meeting dates for a motion, and then to authorize the Secretary to advertise the 2020 meeting dates.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the 2020 meeting dates? As so listed in the handout that we have in front of us.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Secondly, do I have a motion to authorize the Secretary to advertise the 2020 budget hearing dates from the 2020 proposed budgets?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Moving forward on the agenda, we have the October 2019 Treasurer's Report. There are receipts in the total of $41,684.42. and their expenditures in a total of $65,859.20.
And Drew, there's a liquid fuels expenditure also.
Okay. There's a liquid fuels expenditure of $7,590. Thank you, sir. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns with the Treasurer's report for October 2019? With no comments, all those in favor, I'm sorry, do I have a motion to approve the October 2019 Treasurer's report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Motion approved. Next up on the agenda is correspondence.
I'm sorry, can I just ask a question?
Sure. Really.
Since we got the third quarter budget versus actual, can I just ask Sue a quick question? Have you looked at, and maybe it's at the end of the year we should be doing this, how the actual projects in terms of the different developments rolled up? Are our expenses right now ahead of the income for each project? Because we haven't really looked at per development.
You're talking about the reimbursable.
Yes.
Accounts.
Yeah,
we pay our professionals and then we bill them.
So do we know where we are, you know, at the end of third quarter, where we kind of are in that? I didn't ask for it before this, but it just came
there's
up.
There's like
since
18 different accounts, so it depends which one you're
in. I just threw this out at you, but yeah. I was wondering if we could kind of get that roll up for the end, you know, for the fourth quarter end of the year, just how all the different development projects rolled up.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, moving forward, correspondence. Gina, please.
We have a few things in snail mail to report. The 15th annual CRC Awards Dinner at the Barn at the Tyler Arboretum is this Thursday. All of us were invited. It is $100 a person. They wanted us to respond by last week, but I'm sure if anybody would like to attend, they'd be more than happy to take your $100 and find a seat for you. So the invitation is right here. If you want to look at that, it's this Thursday. The DVRPC sent us, which is the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, sent us information on municipal implementation in the toolbox. So I think one of these should go to public safety and one of these should go to our engineer, just in case you haven't already gotten this. And that came in there. And then PennDOT sent something about active transportation, eligible roads, and the technical information sheet for this quarter. So Larry, unless you already got it yourself. And then a couple of things to report from social media. Sunday, there were protesters walking down Route 1. So I did a quick post about, hey, everybody, there's protesters on Route 1. Just be careful. And 4,000 people saw the post, and there were lots of comments. And
did you ever find out what the protesters were protesting?
There was actually a video that I posted on the thing. It was Save DACA and Abolish ICE.
Down Route 1?
Yep. And then at some point, they blocked both lanes going north and south, and then the Pennsylvania State Police came and dispersed them. But it was a little bit nutty there on Route 1 for a little while yesterday, and it got a lot of social media attention. And then also, we were fortunately spared most of the damage from the storms last week. I know you did not have power for 48 hours.
Yes.
I said, most residents still have power, and you guys were like, not us. PennDOT did send out a list of roads that were still closed, and I did send that out as an email to everybody. But I also posted it, and over 5,300 people read that post. Our post reach in the last month was over 10,000. So whatever's going on, whatever I'm reposting and posting seems to be getting attention. We are 12 people shy of 1,000 followers, which is pretty exciting for me anyway. And then I just did send out an email to everybody today reminding them that the new polling location, this is only the second time we'll be using it, is at the firehouse. Parking is in the back. There's no parking in the front. Entry on this side of the building and exit on that side of the building. And that's it.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, inspector's report. First up, we have Fire Marshal, Mr. Sioka.
Seven incidents fire related. They involve the carbon monoxide detectors and automatic fire alarms. Nothing major. There were two things last month or so. 305 Valley Brook Road. The person living there is undergoing constant medication, and there's a Briata nurse.
Briata.
What is it?
Briata
nurse called. And she's having difficulty getting the drug shipped to there because they told her it was in Glenville's address. And I said, no, you live in Chester Heights. And I says, I can't get mail delivery. I says, well, it's right across the street. So I explained everything nice to her for about a half an hour, and she kept coming back to Glen Mills, and I said, if you put your, you can get mail delivered, but you'd have to put it on Smithridge Road, your box. By putting it on Smithridge, when they come up Glen Mills, they'll deliver it there. But they won't make that turn. They won't, they come straight across Smithridge, and right into the development here and make their deliveries. So I told her what to do there, and I told her about the UPS, what to do for UPS to get delivery. So after about a half hour, she wrote everything down, and she understood. We had a problem in Darlington Woods, 328 Danbury. What happens is happening there is they're hiring these contractors to come in and like do exterior work. And the contractor's contract is like, you know, my job is to do siding. So when they remove dryer vents and don't put them back, all the lint blows into the garage, the top of the garage. This has happened in a couple of places. So I spoke to the homeowners association and everything. I said, you have to vet these people. They have to be made responsible. I said, you just can't go and put a roof in and then not put vents in the roof. I said, if someone removes something, they should put it back the way it was. So I contacted Rich Jensen and emails back and forth, and I advised the homeowner that I said, you can shorten it up. And just go right out the soffit. There's a soffit vent, so he could do that. So, but that took days to get that ironed out. And last week I had a fire evacuation drill at Wawa, at corporate, and I had 800 people come out on the outside. They thanked me for not sending them out in the rain. So. That's another story. They move much better now. That's part of the problem.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. So don't forget to change your batteries and whoever has the old smoke alarms.
Mike, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, moving forward, we have Roadmaster EMC.
Basically, the normal PA1 calls, I referred some of them to Matt as far as signage on Route 1, if he was aware of any signs that around Walnut Hill Boulevard. Other than that, all of them have been cleared. I cleared that one as well because it didn't seem to be in any danger of hitting anything. As far as that goes, I know we had the storm. We had trees and wires down again on Valley Brook around Matson. We had trees and wires down at Valley Brook at St. Thomas, which we still have trees leaning on wires, but they're on Verizon wires, and that's extremely low priority for Verizon. So long as vehicles, trucks, and everything can get under them until they come down, we're not going to do anything about them. We were spared, I guess the great part, but I know the village of Valley Brook was without power from, 11:30 that Halloween night till about 10 o'clock Friday morning. I know the fire company was out from about 11:30, 11:45 till about 5 o'clock Friday morning over in Glen Mills with the tornado. We provided a lot of the emergency management for Tilbury Township at a first level. We were able to start up their emergency plan because they had quite the devastation over there, which couldn't be seen during the night hours, but we did a full evacuation of the area to Glen Mills School, and then we were able to let them come back and get their vehicles only, and then they were able to go either to neighbors or to a motel, hotel, or wherever. And then from there on, you guys all saw what happened on the news as far as the devastation that went through there. But that it took quite, we had a whole command center set up. The county came in. They were very supportive. We had numerous other fire companies come in. And it's amazing how quickly you have to go from 0 to 100 in less than 30 minutes when, you're pulling up. The call came in, a woman cut her hand. And her window blew out, and her hand got cut. That's how it came in. So basically, there was an ambulance dispatched, and we were going to assist the ambulance because there was a tree in the way. And from there it went to this tornado that had gone through and totally basically destroyed 6 to 8 homes plus all the trees that Luckily, there was very little in the way of injuries, but they had to declare a state of emergency immediately, and their township supervisors had to enact, and their township manager had to open up a warming center at Glen Mills School. So it goes from 0 to 100 in less than 30 minutes. So that's something I can't stress enough, that everybody, in the municipal environment has to be ready for it as far as being ready for that phone call. If the fire chief or the emergency person who's on the scene can't get the first one, they're going to go to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. They're going to go right down that line, and the first one that picks up on that phone is ultimately responsible. So. And and then that emergency center starts from there on out. So that's all I have.
Larry, can I ask you a question? I don't know if you got an update from the county, but what I was concerned about this is that here in Chester Heights, we received no warning. At least I didn't. I know in Middletown, they did get an emergency warning.
I received one myself.
Was there no...
There was no emergency warning over the cellular system.
Right.
I know when we were dispatched, the county 911 center was putting it out over the fire radios, but that was all that went out to us.
They were taken by surprise, the weather service on this one?
We haven't heard an update on why we weren't, But, it was over in less than 40 seconds.
Yeah, I can tell you that I know someone whose house is since next to that development.
Yeah.
He missed like an eighth of a mile. And he was saying that what happened was, how he explained the events to me, the lights went out, and then he heard this sound, thing sound like a train.
That's what they said, yeah.
And he said it was so quick, and they were all upstairs. The two young kids, they were upstairs. He got the report, like an alert, 5 minutes after it passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, my guess is it happened extremely quick, because the weather didn't pick it up. He was warning people themselves of that actually happening. It was something probably very spontaneous. But they didn't clearly react to even go downstairs to the basement or get the kids.
Right.
So by the time they were aware what was going on, it was gone.
It was gone.
Yeah.
It was over.
Yeah.
The damage was done. But all in all, everybody there physically and fairly well. So.
Thank you.
Larry, one question for you on the tree on the Verizon wires. Would the number of cars that travel that route give any priority to that? So If that snaps, that's a nice size.
If we can get PennDOT to up it, but PennDOT's going to say it's on Verizon.
Okay.
So, because it's physically on Verizon wires, so, you know, everybody defaults to whose wires it's on.
Even though it's hanging over the roadway?
And it's like this big, giant, like, tree branch that isn't connected to anything, just, like, laying on these wires.
Yeah, it's a nice idea.
It used to be that if the wires are on the ground, then they'll fix it. And now it's if everything's working.
Everything's working.
Even if the wires are on the ground, we're not going to touch it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Verizon has the known that they're not going to replace copper, you know. Mm. So, you know, and there is a lot of that, you know, copper in that line coming down Valley Brook Road. But it's all up in the air. It's all apparently working. Enough of it was cut out, probably by PennDOT, to get the road open. But, I mean, all I can do is, you know, recommend that you call maybe, you know, Killian's or Quinn's office and, you know, and maybe keep calling PennDOT and saying, you know, is there something you can do to get this, you know. I agree, it's unsafe, but, you know, there's only so many calls and emails I can do that, you know, and that's, you know, in the same predicament that, you know, that they'll recommend, but they're not going to do anything unless it comes down further.
Sure. Larry, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, up on the agenda next is engineer's report. Matt?
Yes, and I'll cover for Jerry here a bit. We did get three bids, it appears, for the snow removal for 2019 and 2020. If it pleases the board, I'll open them now. Give a quick summary. The first bid is from Scott's Lawn Service. And they have a price for salt at $120 a ton, and the rate for their trucks are $125 an hour, and that seems to cover all trucks that they use. So $120 a ton for salt and $125 an hour for the truck and operator. The next bid is from Dan Kelly's Landscaping. And their bid for the salt is $120 a ton, and the rate for their trucks is $125 an hour. They seem to be on the same rate scale.
So I guess that starts the question, what is the equipment and what kind of trucks do they have and comparing those?
Right, exactly. And the last bid is from Moore Construction. And their bid is $120 an hour, but they, what is their salt price?
Would that maybe include the salt?
It could. I'll have to check. But yeah, their bid is $120 an hour, plow and salt truck, F-250 or 350 or equivalent. But I'll need
was salt included, Matt?
I don't know.
What's that plow and salt?
The description.
The truck plow is an F-250 or an F-350.
But it's odd. The bid form that they used is not the same as the bid form the other two bidders used. If they used an old one or... Or what? Because the other two has a specific line item for price per ton of salt and then a rate on the truck. And for some reason, Moore is using a different bid form. So it appears we have two bids that are identical in price and a third bid, which we need clarification whether salt's included. I think it'd be appropriate to take these bids and do a little investigation and report back to
the board.
Okay. Do you remember what the salt price we paid for the city was?
I don't. Jerry was going to bring that tonight, but unexpectedly he's not here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And moving on, the agenda is, there's two items with reference to the Rose Hill development, and it deals with the proposed method of sewage disposal. This has been discussed at the Planning Commission level. I don't know if we touched upon it here at the board or not. Akabuchi Homes, Ray Akabuchi is in the audience. Brought those plans through 3 or 4 years ago for 33 townhomes. They fell out of contract but are now back in contract for the development, and they are requesting to change their method of sewage disposal from a centralized sanitary sewer pump station to a low-pressure force main system. And the difference being that the original proposal was that a gravity collection sanitary sewer system would service the development, that sewage would be conveyed through the gravity lines to a central pump station located down along Llewellyn Road near the home farm property access, and then from there it would be pumped out to Lenai Road and then run parallel with the force main from the Brookfield development and empty into a sanitary sewer manhole at the top of Lenai Road before there's a downgrade back toward the Rolling Heights development. The proposed change to a low-pressure force main system would entail each of the 33 units having an individual grinder pump, either just outside or just inside the unit. That system is interconnected and then follows the same path out to Lenai Road and up to Lenai Road to the same discharge point for that manhole at the top of Lenai Road before the downgrade starts. Some of the reasons for from the proposed change was over the 3 or 4 years, the requirements on the stations have been upped a little bit, and what Southwest Delaware County's municipal authority's expectations are. So there's an impact on the site and an impact on the budget. They now have to have the sanitary sewer pump station. They have to have a grinder vault. They have to have an emergency generator and a few other pieces of equipment. In the report given to the borough, the applicant believes that that is an impact in a negative fashion on the site aesthetics as you're looking at the site from Llewellyn Road, and also an impact on budget. And it's not only an impact on the developer's budget, it will eventually be an impact on the borough's budget because Southwest will defer the cost of operating that pump station back in some fashion to the borough. I did have a discussion with Jim Glade, the engineer for Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority, to get his input on what the how the proposed change would affect their approvals. And he indicated to me that they would prefer having the low-pressure force main system because it gets the day-to-day operations and costs from a centralized pump station off of their hands. Those pump stations have to be inspected, I believe, daily, and they have a high electricity charge and a high maintenance charge. When you get beyond cost, then you look at other impacts of the proposed change to a low-pressure force main system. And one of the problems that we had with the centralized pump station was that the residents along the route of the high-pressure force main system, at first Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority said they couldn't tie into the high-pressure system, and then after some pressure from the borough, they said that they could, but they'd have to have an engineer's report for every tie-in because you have to be sure that the high-pressure sewage doesn't backflow into the low-pressure system or up the laterals to the individual units. So in terms of adjoining residents, existing residents tying into the low-pressure system, it is easier and less expensive for them to do it. Secondly, if this system ever gets expanded, let's say from Rose Hill, it's expanded back this direction to pick up existing dwellings. Again, a cost comparative comparison supplied by the applicant, which I did review, indicates that a low pressure force main system could be extended very much more cheaply than a gravity collection system, which would go to the centralized pump station. I think it was a difference between $390,000 and it was almost a $200,000 charge. So, you know, any time in the future, if the borough wanted to extend that line in this direction, it would be $200,000 more expensive, or less expensive, I should say, with the low pressure force main system. So my initial reaction reviewing the data is that everybody likes a gravity system. They like to flush the toilet and know that the stuff is going out to the street by gravity. But when you look at all the factors involved, and especially the cost savings to the borough for future extensions and the cost savings for our residents to tie into the low pressure system and the ease of tying into the low pressure force main system, I give my recommendation to allow for the change from a centralized station to the low pressure. This was discussed at the Planning Commission, and their recommendation was also in the affirmative to have the switch to the low pressure system. Ray, I don't know if I missed anything or anything you want to add?
You know, just the permitting, if you ever had to hook up JC residents, would take a lot longer.
That could be.
One question for you. Would the grinder pumps at each individual residence be the responsibility of each individual resident?
Of each individual?
Or would the sewer authority?
Well, the Southwest Delaware County Municipal Authority has a grinder pump ordinance, which says that the individual property owners do own and maintain their system, but they have the ability, if the system is malfunctioning and the owner doesn't correct it, for them to come in and trespass the property and make the repairs or replacements, and then lien the property owner accordingly.
Sure.
And that's what we record an operation and maintenance agreement with every house.
Okay.
And that's what we're actually going to let it be, too.
And didn't you say that the Planning Commission grinder pumps are lasting, like, 20 years or something?
Yeah.
Like, there's a really good lifespan on them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so Matt, are we looking for an approval of resolution 11-19-A?
Yes, there's a. They are standard forms issued by DEP. One is a resolution for plan revision for new land development. That's what they're called. President, if you like, I can read the resolution quickly.
Sure, please.
Whereas Rose Hill Developers LP has proposed the development of a parcel of land identified as Rose Hill and described in attached sewage facilities planning module, and proposes that such subdivision be served by a sewer extension. And then whereas Chester Heights Borough finds that the subdivision described in the attached sewage facilities planning module conforms to applicable sewage-related zoning and other sewage-related municipal ordinances and plans, and to a comprehensive program of pollution control and water quality management. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the commissioners of the Borough of Chester Heights, the Council of the Borough of Chester Heights, hereby adopt and submit to DEP for its approval as a revision to the official sewage facilities plan of the municipality, the above referenced sewage facility planning modules, which is attached thereto.
Any further questions or comments from
me? I have a question. So this was approved, and this development was approved in 2015, correct?
Yes.
And so some other changes besides just this one were proposed?
Yes.
And we are not voting on those tonight? Okay. This is just the sewer piece?
Yes. I believe that the intent for the change would apply to either plan.
Would apply to either what?
Either plan, the original or the proposed.
Okay. So this is not the final second?
No.
No, it's not the final land development approval.
Right.
Just one other question. So you're basically saying, in terms of impact on energy uses, the environment, and land subsidence, I didn't say it right, but this is actually equivalent or better than what was originally planned.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the low pressure force main systems are used very often as, let's say, in a community, when you get to the far reaches of a community where it's like, where the drainage area is up over a knoll, so it can't flow by gravity to its main collection system, its gravity system. These low pressure force main systems are what is used. And the E1 pumps, which are technology, has been around for probably 20, 25 years now, and they've operated with a high success rate.
But as an example, let's say we have a power outage, which is not uncommon here, mm-hmm. And none of the grinder pumps are working. Mm. The flow is back down towards the individual units, correct?
Well, the flow from the unit would discharge into the wet well of the individual grinder pump, which has a, I think has a 25 or 50 gallon, I think it's 50 gallon capacity. So that will fill up.
And I assume there's alarmed, you know, I'm on a septic system, so when my tank gets full, there's an alarm. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about overflow into the environment for an extended power outage.
Well, if power is out, they're not going to get any kind of alarm, so.
And I run inside my house, by the way, but.
They don't require a tremendous amount of power, so it probably behoove the residents to have, you know, emergency backup just to hook up to that, and it will operate.
Or just do what people with septic systems do and don't flush.
Generators.
So my problem is, and I go, we have that rule in our house, mm-hmm. when we lost power for 7 days once. Went to Whole Foods. Okay, you don't need to know. But if you're in a development, you're less likely to know you have to do that, right? So I don't know.
So will that be part of the covenants?
Yeah,
and
and then we have it with our single homes. We've been doing communities with pressure, low pressure systems, probably for 15 years. But we give them a public disclosure, and then. Also, they also have on their title this deed restriction about their responsibilities for the operation and maintenance. So it's fully disclosed. We don't usually get much market resistance from it.
I'm just more worried about mm-hmm. impact on the environment. Selling that to your investors is one thing. Because we do, unfortunately, do have power outages here.
Yeah.
They're on the other side.
Okay, great. Is there any other comments, concerns? If not, do I have a motion to approve Resolution 11-19-A?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you're doing to make this look as nice as possible and not have a big old unit at the top of the sledding hill.
Yeah, I didn't do it. Going into that, but we didn't want that as our main entrance.
Yeah.
They have a camp meeting, but they have a space to put it back in the corner, but ours would have been right in the front entrance.
Thank you.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Matt, is that all for you, I believe?
Just an update on the speed bump markings. In Warner Hill Boulevard, Guide Mark thinks they're going to be there in the third week of November. I asked why he couldn't get there a little sooner, but he has to kind of group his work. So he's down in this area at that week, and that's when he plans to do the pavement marking.
Just a minor detail, Matt. What color are they going to paint the district? It's going to be white or yellow.
White, unless you have a.
The only comment I'll make about that, and we struggled with that in Darlington Woods, is with the salt. Sometimes with the street being white, it could blend. And I'm just, when during the winter time and they lay salt down, the street is white, and sometimes it gets lost.
But right.
Just.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of a speed hump painted yellow. Anywhere. They are going to, the low bidder gave us equal prices to paint the the speed humps or hot thermoplastic, and they're going to use the hot thermoplastic. That's like a white stop bar. Do you ever see where it looks like there's a layer of?
Yeah, yeah.
It's highly reflective and you know, stays forever. That's what they're going to use on the speed okay. humps. So that, I think that would be really good.
Okay, that's good. There also that also studies
yeah.
I
yeah.
as well.
Right.
Okay, that's fine. That was just a question. Thank you.
Regular
comment.
And then just backwards. I'm sorry. Did you have to authorize a transmittal letter to? Is that
no, well, that's just a transmittal letter.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Matt, is that all for you for tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Moving forward, we have the mayor's report. Mayor Smith.
One thing, we've scheduled lunch with Santa for December 7th from 12:30 to 2:30. Gina has booked Santa, and we haven't really started the planning process yet, but I'm assuming it'll be much like last year.
Yep.
That's it.
Great. Thank you. Okay, up next on the agenda, we have committee reports. First up, we have school district, education, training, library. Susan?
A couple things on school district. You may have seen that school for the next 2 years will start before Labor Day. Based on the way the calendar falls, we're going to have 180 school days in a year. So we're going to go too far into June when we're done. And secondly, the school will be forming a district will be forming a committee to look at later start times.
Great. Thank you.
When would you anticipate that? If it was to be.
It would be shocking if it happened next September. There's a lot to be figured out, especially around transportation. And try not to add, you know, add $1 million to the budget just to make it happen.
Thank you, Rick. Susan, anything further?
No.
Okay, moving forward, we have finance, insurance. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. President. So this evening, we'll actually continue discussing the proposed 2020 Chester Heights General Fund liquid fuels, fire protection, and open space budgets. Before we go on to the very few revisions in the second draft, I did request from council at the last meeting to email questions for me that they may have. Councilman Block did so I'd like to address those first if we could.
Sure. I was the only one?
What's that?
I was the only one.
You were the only one to email questions, okay. Yes. So your first question was revenue item 392.34. That $45,000 transfer, Philip,
yeah.
is coming from the Road Improvement Fund. That's actually for Ivy Lane.
Right. So the question was, the timing didn't, when I looked at the liquid fuels.
Right. Fund, and you'll see on the one that we're going to review tonight, that was actually moved up. So that was correct.
Thank you.
The $35,000 you're referring to coming out of liquid fuels, that's actually for the work on Heather Lane.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
So the other question you had was a expenditure that is line item 409.06, $150
yep.
in September for the borough sign. That is actually for a vinyl cover for the community park sign.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
As for the liquid fuel budget, you were right. There were 19s there instead of 20s, and once again, they've been corrected to 20s.
Thank you.
And the budget versus actual, you had the actuals in front of you. You were asking a question about it before. What I would really suggest is you, along with everybody else, kind of digest it, and we'll talk more at the work session about that. But what I can tell you is, if you kind of look at it, we have 2 years of actuals there, and then we have 10 months, which is all we can go up to at this point from here. You'll see that unless there's something major that goes in and then goes right out or something like that, everything is pretty much in line with where it was before. So take the time, review that. We'll have a conversation about it at the work session.
Thank you.
Now, to be honest with you, I think I'm going to let you speak on this next item that you had.
It was really, you could bring it up. It was more just a conversation I wanted to have with you if you would like to, or I can bring it up now.
You can actually go right ahead and bring it up if you'd like to talk about it. I mean, we're here. You emailed it, so.
Oh, okay. It was a question if we're looking at doing a reduction in the millage for tax you know, lowering our taxes, if it would be a better consideration instead of looking at lowering the millage rate to actually have a tax refund. So we have an X amount of money in excess in our budget, mostly from a lot of it from actually the sale twice of Madison, well,
right.
Coventry to Madison to whatever they're going to be, which is a non-reoccurring event. And the thought of a tax refund, that is correcting an overbalance this year where a reduction in millage impacts all future earnings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little concerned not having a longer term look on it. Would it make more sense to do a tax refund, let's say $400,000 above where we need to be, just refund that this coming year versus looking at a millage reduction, which would impact all future earnings? It was just something I thought might be worth a conversation.
So when I got your email, all right, I did have a conversation with our tax collector about this. The first concern that I have about this proposal is that it's coming up at a time in the process right now where we're already getting so deep into this that I don't think there would be enough time for right. council to actually digest it and be able to do anything with it to make an informed decision. The second thing is, after talking with the tax collector, apparently there's a lot of little intricacies in this as to how a refund would have to happen. We would have to have someone calculate it down to exact figures what someone paid. We would then have to refund money to people that I believe may have even left the borough mid-year at one point or another. So I think that I think the plan is just more than we would be able to do this year.
Then so something to consider in the future.
I appreciate the suggestion, but I just don't think it's something that we could work with now. So thank you. That was actually the end of your questions. Susan, you asked two during the meeting that I'd like to speak to. The first one was about the general government, I believe. That was changed to line item 406.00, and the reasoning for that is we were going by the Pennsylvania State Chart of Accounts. Okay. So that's the reason for that change. And the second question, I've got to ask you to clarify, because you asked about $6,000 that was at under permit fees, I think, that came in the middle. What specifically was your question? I mean, let me take a look and see what the line item was so you can maybe consider it. 362.10, but you specifically mentioned the $6,000, and I guess I'm just not clear on what your question is.
I guess what I thought was in 2019, the budget for that was $148,000,
okay,
and it's down to $82,000, so that's what a $66,000 change.
That's because okay. The summit is done being built, right?
What's that?
The assisted living community
yes.
is done being built.
Right.
So that was kind of Rich's estimate that there's going to be a lot less because that's done.
Right, correct. And that's largely what all those numbers are, Susan, is estimates. I mean, they could go obviously off, but there are best case guesses at this stage.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess that we factored in that if Rose Hill goes forward, right? What are the assumptions underlying that line?
The assumptions for
Rich's assumptions.
What did Rich give you as far as building code assumptions underlying that $82,000?
No, I believe that that's what he gave is $82,000. What was he didn't really expand much on that, did he?
Well, there's what, 5 left at Lenape. Yeah, I mean, that was his
calculation. That's right. I think it was 8 left at Lenape, 14 left at Brookfield, and then Arbor Square, right?
He kind of did the last 3 years and took out the big ones and said between 75 and 85.
Okay. So those are his projections.
Okay. I just think under any budget, you know, the key thing are the assumptions of what's going into it. That's a pretty big one.
Okay. All right. Now, let's move on to the rough draft here that we have, the second rough draft of the budgets. There is one change to the 2020 Chester Heights proposed general fund budget. The major change here is that opening balance is now $310,000 instead of $345,000. The reason that we reduced that is because we need to allow for payment of the borough's bills in November and December. And we also kept some money aside in case there's any kind of major event that should occur. Big snowstorm in December, it's happened before. Anything that we would have to expend money on that was unforeseen. So that's the primary change. And again, if council would like to review this in general, I would love to have any email questions sent over, and we'll continue the discussion at the work session, because this is not final until the budget hearing in December. It's going to continue to change.
Steve, thank you for addressing the questions I had.
Yeah, absolutely, Phil. Thank you for sending them in. I appreciate it. So, Mr. President, I would ask at this point if there are any further questions about the proposed general fund budget.
You guys had your meeting, so this is good.
Mm-hmm.
One area that we can look at,
sure.
And that was, as I recall, in the 406 category, it was a lot higher than last year.
Okay.
And I forget, what was the category last year? It was something like
400 maybe? Sue, does that sound right to you, about 400 instead of 406?
Oh, yeah, 400 yeah. was. It was under legislative.
Right.
Yeah, it went up $14,000. I just didn't have time to look at all. There's a lot of categories in there. So
take your time to look at it. Email me over your questions. Any other questions about the general fund budget? Okay. Moving on to the 2020 Chester Heights Borough proposed liquid fuels budget. There's actually no change whatsoever. We still have $55,000 for the prior year carryover. There is the $55,828.15 allocation from PennDOT coming in March. And there is interest earned of $900 for a total of $111,728.15 in revenue, and expenditures totaling $95,000 with unallocated funds of $16,728.15. And again, that remains unchanged from the last meeting. We then have the 2020 Chester Heights proposed open space acquisition budget, which also remains unchanged from the last meeting. I do want to address one thing that Jerry had mentioned in the last meeting, and that was $2,500 in fees for Peter Williamson. So we did discuss that with him, and that's actually included in that $15,000 that's listed there. So there's no need for a further change on that. And that is total revenue of $310,600 and total expenditures of $310,000 with $600 in unallocated funds. Lastly, we have the 2020 Chester Heights Borough proposed fire protection budget. That is a total income of $88,201.95. We've actually removed the carryover, Philip. We might want to discuss that under your committee report, I suppose. The carryover has been removed because $100 is required to keep that account open. So I talked to Sam earlier today. They're going to take that in December, all right? And then they're going to take the bulk of their money in July of 2020, and that would be $84,000, and then the remainder of which would be taken in December. So it will be total expense of $88,100 with $101.95 left to hold the account open. All right?
Thank you.
Any questions regarding any of the four budgets? And if there are questions, feel free to email me, and we will discuss them in detail at the work session. But, Mr. President, I actually need to make four motions this evening regarding the budgets. So I make a motion for council to tentatively approve the 2020 proposed general fund budget.
I'll make a motion.
So moved.
Are you seconding that?
Oh,
he
somebody
made a motion. Are you?
I'm sorry. I just saw you open it. I'll second it.
Okay.
All those, I'm sorry, the floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask for a motion for council to tentatively approve the 2020 proposed liquid fuels budget, please.
So moved.
All right. We have a so moved in a second. So.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
Mr. President, I request a motion for council to tentatively approve the 2020 proposed fire protection budget.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved.
And lastly, Mr. President, I need to make a motion, or ask for a motion, for council to tentatively approve the 2020 proposed open space acquisition budget.
I'll make a motion.
Oh, okay. Floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And Mr. President, I do have to mention one final thing. I didn't know until we got to the meeting that our solicitor was not going to be here this evening. I do have to say, just for the record, that I direct the solicitor to draft a resolution to amend the tax levy rate from 0.48 to 0.45.
And is that their motion required for that?
No, it's just okay. A direction at this stage for the resolution. So.
Thank you, Steve.
And I have nothing else. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Nat. Tax levy, that's what you mentioned last time, is the 6,000 or whatever it was.
I'm sorry?
You mentioned at the last meeting that tax levy reduction resulted in, I forget,
about $6,600. Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, moving forward, fire company finance. Philip, anything to add?
Yeah, just like to update, we had our third quarter fire department finance review on October 29th from council. There was President Baum, Mr. Kokoza, and myself from the fire department, President Iannucci and Mr. Ward were there. We reviewed the third quarter financials. Just to update, they are currently at about $100,000 cash on hand, which is the target that we've been shooting for, which represents about 6 months worth of operation. They have $60,000 in release savings, and that goes to firefighter protection for gear and things along that line, which is what their target is. And they have, correct me if I'm wrong, about $115,000 in the fire truck fund, which is on target for the future fire truck needs. So everything as of third quarter, they're really hitting the financial targets that we've been discussing over the last year or so. You heard last time, but I just want to reiterate, the fire department has worked very hard and has gotten two grant approvals, one from the state for $14,600 for debt reduction, and then the large one from the federal on $103,500 for the air tanks. And as I was reminded, although the grants were approved, the allocation of funds has yet to happen, and that's to happen at some point when the state actually gives up their funds. But they were very successful in getting a significant amount of grant approval. So kudos to them. And then just this last bit that you heard with the amendment on the fire protection budget, we were holding $5,000 in the fund based on the fire tax levy and the rules around it. Really, that money needs to be given to the fire department. We shouldn't be holding on to it. So there's a question how much we needed to hold on, so we wouldn't get any service charges, and that's $100. So we're going to, as you heard in December, release the $4,900 to the fire department starting next year at $100.
Yes.
And that is it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, moving forward with committee reports, we have a nominating committee. Teresa, any report?
Nothing.
Thank you. Up next, communications.
Already covered it.
Thank you. Moving forward again, Highway Transportation Committee. Jordan?
Yes, this was brought up at the work session a few weeks ago about the breakaway poles for the digital signage, speed signs. We were going to put additional, three poles so the signs could be rotated around the borough itself. One would be on the opposite side of Valley Brook Road and both sides of Llewellyn Road itself. So this would give us flexibility, and I believe that we have budgeted for, basically going into next year, we could start rotating signs around on a quarterly basis from side to side and various parts of it, just because it gets still after a while, and it's just good just to hit both directions. The poles themselves, breakaway poles, range from 225 to 250 each. I would go on like a not to exceed. If we were to look at three poles for $750, would you agree with that, Matt?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And this could also be, Matt verified previously that this could be taken out of liquid fuels fund itself. I would also say that I would defer to Larry, our roadmaster, for that exact location of poles because of the actual where the speed signs need to be located because of the sun and getting the best direct light for the recharging. I would refer to Larry for the specific locations on that. So I'd like to get a motion for approval of not to exceed $750 for the breakaway poles installations for three of them.
Floor is open for discussion. With no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Jordan, anything else?
That'll be it. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Okay, moving forward, planning, zoning. Susan, I'll pass this off to you.
Yes.
Please.
I did go to the meeting and I can't find it, but we did talk about roadkill. It was approved as Matt said earlier. So, I mean, is there anything?
They did like two recommendations for the sewer change, but they also recommended approval for the subdivision land development, the revised.
Right.
But that was not on the agenda tonight because they're waiting to take their permits a little further along.
So it's moving along with planning commission. So I guess it's just delayed in getting to us.
Right.
Thank you, Matt.
Can I ask a question, not related to that one, but I noticed at the Smith Bridge property, what used to be the old little store,
yeah,
is up for sale for a restaurant?
No, that would be his renter.
Okay, because
for a tenant.
We always seem to come back to that and have to renew that. I was just wondering if there's any status on that property because we seem to always talk about it.
That was the exact question Planning Commission had at Planning
okay.
Commission's meeting. What's going on there?
Did they say anything? Or
Planning Commission's wondering what's going on.
So Richard was requesting a sprinkler.
So, but
the work that they wanted to do to it.
But the septic is okay now? I mean, the whole EPA thing with the...
There's water right outside their front door now. There's a hydrant right there. And before the excuse was, well, we can't hook up, there's no water. So now there's water. So I don't know. You know.
I think the main issue is with
sewer.
Southwest Sewer Authority.
It's still that issue.
Talking about the Cheshire's Market?
Yeah.
Yes. They, Steve Conrad wants to tap into the system that he installed here for Brookville.
Right.
The Southwest Municipal Authority has taken the position that if it gets extended down Smith Bridge Road, it has to be extended all the way to the borough line, the Concord Township.
At one shot.
That he just can't extend it to his property. Which is, which is a completely, in my opinion, outrageous stance.
There's, but do they care?
Yeah, and there's certainly nothing wrong with taking a system and building it to a certain point and capping it, and then whenever the time is appropriate to unearth it and extend it more.
Yeah, where do they care?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. I was just curious what that was.
Okay, moving forward, we have historical. Stacy, anything? Okay, up next, public safety. That's my committee. Actually, just a comment. I believe it was October 7th, or maybe it was the meeting prior to that. We had a discussion about the future of police coverage in the borough. And at that point, I had asked Gina and Sue Timmons to advertise on our media platforms any residents that were interested. I believe to date we have four residents that expressed an interest to be on that subcommittee. I'm going to ask that we just keep it advertised for another 7 to 10 days, and at that point we can name that committee, or I'll name that committee moving forward. And that's all for public safety.
Do you want a second email to go out
for
a second request?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Moving forward, we have public utilities, trash, recycle.
I don't have anything for this topic. I did have one other item, probably on the previous topic on the highway transportation. Did anyone ever contact Ennis? I'm sorry, Madison about the old Ennis property and cut through that people go off of Route 1 on the Valley Brook Road? I'm just curious if any action was taken on that.
There's a truck parked there for like 2 days.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's made contact yet.
Sorry? That belongs to Madison now, that corner.
Right.
Well, right, but the problem is, like, trucks are parking there.
Yes, I know. And that's, we were talking about, or I suggested the last time, put some sort of barrier off of Route 1 so people can't cut through or do the kind of a rest stop or whatever, because that's creating some issues on that particular one. We're trying to avoid the light by cutting through.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, they're in a hurry.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I have to get the
power. The power's out.
See you next
time. Who should approach Madison about it? Who would be appropriate person?
We had Rich Jensen had reached out, I believe, after our last meeting. I contacted Sue today to follow up with Rich with another email to see if he had made contact. Apparently, they changed managers or leadership.
They changed managers.
No, they fired everybody when they got bought, so Andrew's not there anymore.
And I can tell you the tractor trailer was in the back of the weekend. Yeah, I'm sure you saw it at some point. I actually saw him pull in at Friday night.
I see him with his car, loading supplies from his car into the cab of the truck. I think the dude's local. Gotta guess that he lives close by. But
that's the other people use that lot, too. It's almost like a rendezvous spot for whatever. So.
okay.
Is that the new hotspot?
So Rich is on it, and you're on Rich to be on it.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, moving forward, borough property, parks, open space, Teresa.
Nothing, thank you.
Following that, engineering, construction, inspection, Susan.
No report.
Ordinance code review, Philip.
No report this evening.
Okay. Do we have any old business?
I actually forgot to report something earlier. Earlier this month, last month, St. Thomas was awarded Blue Ribbon status from the U.S. Department of Education. They are one of only 362 total schools in the United States and one of only 50 private schools to be recognized as a place of exemplary teaching and learning. I know I received, and I believe Stacy also received, invitation to, which I think I'm going to extend to everybody because it's Borough Council, to their Blue Ribbon celebration at 10:15 on the 26th of this month. They're going to have a party and a award ceremony, whatever, at St. Thomas for the Blue Ribbon celebration. So that, and then also, this might be new business, all of us who are going to be here tomorrow, part of the concern that I've been hearing from residents is that they fear a lack of parking in the back. They don't realize that there's like 30 spots out back. So for those of us who are going to be here all day, either park at the old market that now, you know, is nothing, right? So park there. Or I did get permission from Gary at the camp meeting that we can park in there beyond Brookfield in the camp meeting driveway because they won't be using it tomorrow. And then if that walking is too far, Sam, you said that kind of back in the gravel back there. Yeah. We're just trying to make it as easy as possible for residents to come and do what they want to do and not drive through and feel like there's too much parking and then just keep going. That has been the biggest concern that has been sent to me via all of our channels about the change in the polling place. So if we could all park elsewhere or get dropped off, that would be super.
Gina, thank you. Any other old business?
One thing I did want to mention, slipped my mind till just now, is I wanted to compliment Gina on our newsletter.
Oh, thank you.
That was almost a single-handed task, and it looked very nice. You did a good job, and it'd be nice to see maybe some other council members with some input for our next newsletter. Anything that interests you, you think needs to be addressed?
Committee stuff. Thank you.
Great. Gina, thank you. For the newsletter, I mean. Okay, moving forward, any other old business? If not, we'll move to new business. Do we have any new business? Okay, we have an additional period for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address. Anyone in the first row? Second row? Yes, sir.
Greg Chestnut, 317 Wilkes Way. Earlier in the secretary's report, you voted to approve the meeting dates, but did not specifically approve the authorization to advertise.
I thought you did.
Not verbally.
Not verbally?
No. We do pay attention.
You know what? I think you're right. So with that in mind, I call for that motion after we're done public comment.
Okay. Secondly, I haven't been at the last couple of meetings, but I believe you had somebody here from the Village of Valley Brook to talk about the trees on Valley Brook.
We did.
We're going to continue to work with them to get those trees taken out.
Okay.
And then I'll probably touch with Sue to lean on PICO to see if we can resource the power for our homes over there along its way. Okay.
Great.
Thirdly, Verizon, the question. Doesn't the borough approve their franchise to operate in the borough? Can that franchise be revoked, withheld, until they cooperate with mine?
That's a good question.
I know a few of
the
Verizon
phones.
Well, Verizon, it's the same parent.
I believe, is there a yearly authorization to for them to operate?
That's for the cable services. I don't think that's the telephone. There's wires
same
or the
company.
Or the telephone.
Well, actually, trust me, I fought with Verizon Wireless.
Yeah. Question for the listener. And then finally, a question about fund balance. Is there a target fund balance, like unallocated fund balance for the borough, or not? Or do we know what the fund balance is? And the reason I'm asking is the school district has a stated policy of a 5 to 8% unallocated fund balance every year, just for whatever might come up. Keeping at least 5% for eventualities, no more than 8, so they're not basically holding too much funds, as you've seen in Concord Township and some other places.
Do you mean an annual unallocated?
What is the current percentage of unallocated fund balance right now? Is it 2%, 5%, 20%?
I think it's 3 months of the operating budget, right? That was the gap.
So that's about 25%? And I don't know what the right number is for municipalities. For school districts, it's 5 to 8%.
They say it should be between 3 and 6 months of operating expenses, but we're quite high right
generally
now.
Accepted accounting principles,
yeah.
So
well,
we follow
point.
GAAP, yeah.
Okay. That's my question.
And I'm answering for you, Steve, only because you helped me write the article for the newsletter on
right,
that.
No,
so
yeah, it's absolutely.
But I would be curious to know what after the budget is, or when the budget is being approved in December, what does that leave as a fund balance target for the year?
So for 2020?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I can tell you exactly. The way it stands right now, it would be about $154,000.
On a budget of how much?
Our expenditures. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Let me get it out.
I don't need an answer right now.
Okay.
But you're talking about an annual unallocated versus a cumulative
Well, that's really what I'm talking about. Do we need to have 4 years worth of expenses in fund balance?
And again, that's predominantly because Madison got sold twice. A lot of that.
Well, because of development, too.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
But I would like to know. like I said, not now.
But if we have another year like we had last year with snow removal and we perhaps, not knowing, pick possibly the most expensive and we end up with $35,000 and we spend 70, it's nice to have that big cushion.
Another part of that. Is $1.4 million.
Another part of that, Greg, is, you know, you've heard all this talk about open space and what we're acquiring and that sort of thing. We're actually awaiting the result of some grant applications as well, so the borough may expend even more money on open space.
And so move that from general funds to general
funds. Correct. So there are other things at play there. But thank you for the question.
We need to be looking further ahead. We need to be considering what's going to happen with MS4, right?
So MS4 is
budgeted
for 2020. But also, like, we should be out, like, kind of thinking ahead about, like, sewer and water for residents in the borough since we have the money to do it. Looking out a little further as far as what projects like that we want to do.
We hired consultants to look in 2020 to look at what the next 2 years are going to look like and be able to budget for it. But we can't budget until we know what the experts say, right?
Right. That's exactly what it comes down to. When we put together a budget, we ask the people who know, and they tell us what they need. And that's how we do it.
We're also in the process of having that sewer mapping.
Yes.
Which should take place. Hopefully, Matt, you think that would be in 2020?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was part of the reason why originally I was bringing up with Steve the thought of a tax refund, because we have an excess right now. It's something we may want to consider the following year.
And I said we have a tax holiday. Like, our annual taxes are, what, like $110,000, $112,000, $120,000, real estate taxes. And with a $1.4 million balance in the general fund, we could have a tax holiday, like to 0% for 1 year. And who knows how long we could do that for, but until we know what the sewer is going to cost us, I guess we...
And I realize that the borough knowledge compared to the school district knowledge is a very different.
I'm glad the school recognizes that.
Absolutely. I can't say that better than us.
All right, Greg, anything else? Okay, anyone else in the second row? Anyone in the third row? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
I'm sorry. Oh, hold on. One more motion. Do I have a motion to authorize the secretary to advertise the 2020 meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Anybody hearing as well?
We did that.
Floor is open for discussion. Greg, I thank you. With no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Now, could I have a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you all.
No, it's hanging in there.
I don't think it's going to make it.
I hope so.
Looks painful.
I know I'm doing something with my fingers like working right now.
You said 5 days from now, so it doesn't catch on. What is left in there?
I don't think it's supposed to rain tomorrow.
No, so we're outside.
And you can go back to using that door. You don't have to make it. In fact, I think the fire department would just rather. Like you had last time.
You never used this door last.
So I assume that we're good.
Did you talk to?
Yes. So what?
Oh yeah, go ahead. You can tell her instead of.
I met with McGill out there late last week. What they're going to do is put that block wall. Once the driveways separate, he's going to put that block wall. The block wall is going to extend about 8 inches above the pavement for about a distance.
See you bright and early.
About 15 feet on their property, right on their property line. To support the earth, to support your driveway. Then after the retaining wall, they're going to put two fence posts with one set of rails to kind of give you the visual.
No, I didn't see that
there's
an
obstruction
so
there as you drive your slip.
So
either on the
block
wall or on the post, a reflector to also give you that visual.
So, the block wall that's going up is not going to be the block wall that matches my block wall. So, what we're saying is you're on the list.
No, Gina asked me the same question. Yeah.
He submitted everybody and their spouses, and also your children, because they struck 2 years ago.
Well, I'll ask them. Yeah. I mean, you'll only see this much of it. They'll see.
But before, she was just sitting there, big cat, pregnant. I have 4:15 to 5:30. I have 5:30 to close. I have 7 to 11, so kind of middle of the day. There's someone who can do somewhere from 7 to 11 if you can help.
Right.
And then we're at 8 a.m. And we've been opening from 3 p.m. to 5:30 p.m.
So
we've got no
routine.
All right, I'll do that. You can do that. I'll be here.
Right.
And then
and
that's
it.
Try to go tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, if I'm there,
my
routine
will work.
It's way up, quack, quack.
Well, right in here for like 50, it might even be a little more than 15 feet because on their property, the retaining wall. And so the grade is kind of.
But you know what? Let's just.
And it's got to extend above the grade to people's hands.